John, will you come and read to us, please?
Reading this morning from Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become very clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up any trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motive or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me.
Second reading also taken from Philippians as we continue with that chapter. Verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This then is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle I saw you had, now I hear you still have. When I was younger, we were taught that the four letters that are in the centre of the New Testament were God's Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And it's very true. They are God's electric power company. And I thought we'd have a look at Philippians over the next few weeks. And Philippians is Paul's most warmly personal letter. There's no contradiction and criticism of the people in Philippi. After the initial difficulties of the city of Philippi, as we read in Acts 16, a strong bond develops between Paul and the converts there. They're friends. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a beautiful relationship. In other letters, particularly 2 Corinthians, for example, Paul spends a lot of time defending his ministry and saying what a mess that the others are in. But here, he encourages them. And he wrote to thank the church for a gift that he'd recently received in prison to inform them of his circumstances. But the main theme of this little letter that Paul writes is joy. The message of Philippians is joy. Which is amazing because Paul was in prison. He was under house arrest, probably, in Rome. That was no fun. That was no enjoyment. But Paul overflows with joy. Joy in salvation, joy in circumstances, joy in the Lord. All those wonderful things from somebody who is in prison, which is amazing. So first of all, let's look at the readers of the letter. This is a picture of Philippi as it stands today. Philippi was a little Rome. It's based on gold and commerce in the midst of a Greek culture. It was a colony of Rome full of retired soldiers and politicians. People went to Philippi to retire, kind of like Philly. In order to fit into the key of getting on in Philippi, it was citizenship. You had to be a citizen. If you were a citizen, you could get on and be something in that community, in that society. There was much pride in the status of being a citizen. And this status, so Paul reminds them, of the bigger picture, because there was so much pride in this status. Just as many put great value in Roman citizenship that belonged to the world beyond Philippi, Paul reminds the Christians they have a citizenship outside of the world. Philippians 3 verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that it will be like his glorious body." The city itself was based on a prosperous trade and commerce market. As I said, they were noted for their fine gold, but also for their good farming. They were a prosperous place. And as you read the letter, you can see Paul picking out these themes as illustrations, reminding them about the pure gold of their faith and about the true commerce of heavenly citizenship. The readers of the letter were new Christians, and they were probably led by Lydia. They were Romans and Greeks, so Paul does not refer much to the Old Testament in the letter. They need reminding of their relationship with Jesus. But these people knew that their citizenship was not of the earth. And for us as Christians, there are times when we look around the world in which we live and it seems so alien, so foreign, so wrong, so out of kilter, so out of place. And that's because our hearts belong in heaven, not on earth. We're not citizens of the earth anymore since we've become Christians. We are citizens of heaven. What about the purpose of the letter? As I said, Paul was under house arrest in Rome. And if you were under house arrest, your friends were responsible for your upkeep. You didn't have any income other than what friends would send to you. And in spite of his difficult circumstances as a prisoner in Rome, Paul is rejoicing in the secret joy that is, as he describes it, the single mind. He lives for Christ and for the gospel. He has a single mind. Christ is named 18 times in Philippians chapter 1, and the gospel is mentioned 6 times. Paul is obsessed with the gospel and with Christ. And so he says in Philippians 1 verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." He also says that he wants to go to heaven, but has the responsibility to stay on earth because of the Philippians and others that depend on his ministry. It's the attitude that says, it makes no difference what happens to me, just as long as Christ is glorified and the gospel is shared with others. What a wonderful one-track mind he had, just on the gospel. Paul rejoiced in spite of his circumstances, but because of his circumstances, he strengthened the fellowship of the gospel, promoted furtherance of the gospel, and guarded the faith of the gospel. Fellowship, furtherance, and faith of the gospel. They sent a messenger, Epaphroditus, to give a message of support and gift, However, while with Paul, Epaphroditus became unwell. He had to stay in Rome with Paul for his recovery. And the letters appear to have gone backwards and forwards from Rome and Philippi. But latter ones complain about Epaphroditus' lateness. And Paul writes his letter as an answer to the following: to update his friends on his progress, to defend Epaphroditus against his critics, to thank the Philippian church for their gift and support, to encourage and teach them of their Christian life, to emphasize the importance of unity in their church. This letter has purpose and reason, and we as Christians need to have purpose and reason in what we are thinking, and to have as that central track running through our minds, our lives, our hearts: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Then there's the content of the letter, as I said, about single-mindedness being all-powerful. The content of the letter, as I said, the key word is joy. It occurs 16 times in the whole of the letter. A prisoner of long-term unjust arrest writes about joy. Isn't that amazing? Here's Paul, who is in prison, who shouldn't be. And yet all he can talk about is the joy that he experiences. Joy in the fellowship with each other. The word fellowship here means to have in common. This is what we have in common, the fellowship with one another. But true Christian fellowship is really much deeper than just sharing coffee and cake, isn't it? Often we think what is fellowship is always, or sometimes really only, acquaintanceship or friendship. You can't have fellowship with someone unless you have something in common. And for Christian fellowship, this means possessing eternal life within the heart. Unless a person has trusted Christ as their Saviour, he knows nothing of the fellowship of gospel. We have fellowship with one another because Christ has died for us and lives in our hearts. And also, Paul says, remember and think. He says it tirelessly through the letter. Remember and think. Now, my memory is not what it used to be. And I'm sure many of you feel the same way. Ron was saying to me earlier that the doctor had asked him, "Do you ever find yourself in a room and not know why you're there?" Well, everybody's shaking their heads or nodding their heads, so you all feel the same way. It's not necessarily an onset of Alzheimer's. But it is, remember what Christ has done for you. Remember what Christ has done for you. And to think tirelessly on what that cross means for us. In doing these things, we can create joy, knowing what Christ has done for you. That's not the only lesson. There are many, many more, but I want us to think of this one for a moment. I thank my God, says Paul in Philippians 1:3, every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Each of you have got a list of church members with their telephone numbers and addresses. Take time sometimes just to take that list and pray for people on the list. Pray for them and remember them and give thanks to God for them because they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul says he receives joy when he thinks of the Philippians. What do you think of when you think of church? Well, Paul has this joy. It comes from this. He holds God's people. That's what he says. He holds God's people. Firstly, in his mind. He thought about others, not himself. He was a giver. And God blesses the givers, not the takers. Those who are willing to come alongside and receive. However, if they don't get, they leave or criticize. That's what happens in churches sometimes. People will come out and say, well, I didn't get much from that this morning. Well, if that's the case, then maybe you should be thinking yourself, what can I give? What can I give instead of taking? And then he says about his memories were a blessing. In his mind, his memories of Philippi were a blessing to him. He dwelt on the positive and forgave the wickedness or the weakness of those who had failed and had their issues in the church. So he holds God's people in his mind. Then he holds them in his heart, he says. And the picture this letter paints is of unity, true unity. The Philippians were very diverse and yet they loved each other. They were demanding, but Paul loved them. In his heart, he was right with them. It gave them joy. And it's right that we in our hearts hold each other in our fellowship and beyond our fellowship with other Christians right across the world, that we hold each other in our hearts and pray for one another and care for one another. And then lastly, in his prayers, praying for the Philippians, praying for the Philippians gave Paul pure joy. Not because they were perfect or the biggest or the best, but simply because his mind was disciplined by prayer. The more you pray, the greater your prayers become. The more you pray, the more you can forgive. The more you pray, the more you see things from God's perspective. These things are true from this letter. So as we go through this letter in the next few weeks, this letter is about joy. Joy in the Christian heart. And if you want that same joy, Paul says, in spite of circumstances, rejoice. Things may not be perfect for you right now. Things may not be absolutely as the way that you want them to be. We could be in need. We could be in plenty. We could be in good times or hard. Rejoice that your name is in heaven, and that will give you joy. Rejoice that you're part of the kingdom of God, part of the church. Rejoice, God's love you. God loves you, and that will bring us joy. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this letter. We thank you for the wisdom that is in it. We pray, Lord, that as we look at this letter over the next few weeks, we may discover more and more about the joy that is set before us. The joy that is in our hearts when we rejoice in what you have done for us and rejoice in one another. May we be people who rejoice in you and full of joy because of what the gospel is. Lord, hear us in this prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.